James. We'll be studying the third chapter. James chapter 3, we'll read the first two verses. It says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the great condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body." So here in the first verse, it says, "Be not many masters." And here the word masters means teachers. And then also it says, "Knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation." This means, another version says, that we will be judged with greater strictness. And so the first verse is saying, you know, lots of you guys are going to be teachers. And teachers are going to be judged more harshly. It says, with a greater strictness. So if they're wanting to become a teacher of God's word, or we're wanting to do the same, we have to be careful because of how we will be judged. You know, when either me or any of the other guys here at any other church gets up to teach God's word, you know, it's a big responsibility. You know, this evening I'm explaining God's word to y'all. You know, it's up to y'all also to compare what I say to the scriptures and make sure that what I'm saying is correct. But it's also up to me to make sure that what I'm saying is correct. And then in verse 2 it says, "For in many things we offend all." And this means that we stumble or we mess up in many ways. It says, "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man." So here he's saying if you don't ever mess up and say the wrong thing, then you're a perfect man. Then it says you have the ability to control your whole body. You don't have any problems pretty much. And it uses the word bridle, which, you know, you use on a horse in order to help control it. So this wisdom or grace that we receive from God is what it takes to bridle our tongue and will help to allow us to control our actions. And here he's outlined the first, I guess, topic of this chapter, which is using our words correctly and knowing when to stop talking. Moving on in James chapter 3, verse 3 and 4, it says, "Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth." So, you know, if someone's not able to control their horse, they're going to have a problem. They're not going to be able to get whatever job they're trying to do. They're not going to be able to get it done. You know, it's the same with a boat. If you don't have a helm, if you don't have a way to control that boat, well, you're just going to go wherever the waves take you or the winds take you. And it's the same with our tongue. If we don't have a way to control our tongue, well, then we're just going to be in all sorts of trouble. And it's going to be up to what our tongue does and says to how big a trouble we'll get into. You know, in these verses, they're not telling us that we shouldn't ever talk. You know, if we have a horse that's not tamed, that's not broke, you know, we're not just going to go shoot it because it's no use. We're going to go try and tame it. We're going to try to break it, make sure that it's used to us. We're going to teach it how to be useful because, you know, it's strong, it's fast, it's smart. It has all these abilities that will help us, and it's up to us to help find a way to control that horse. You know, our tongue's the same way. Just because it can get us into trouble doesn't mean we should use it, but rather we should learn how to use it correctly. We should, just like the horse, teach it when it should and shouldn't do things. Because like the horse has the ability to do hard work, our tongue has the ability to save souls, has the ability to preach God's word to people. Picking up in verse 5 of James chapter 3, it says, "Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity." And this means injustice. "So is the tongue among our members, that defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it set on fire of hell." So in verse 5, it talks about how small the tongue is, just, you know, like the bit or a bridle for a horse or the helm of a boat. It's a small thing, but it can still do great things. It still controls the horse or the boat or the tongue. Then verse 6, it talks about all the trouble that the tongue can cause. You know, the tongue, people talking and saying the wrong thing, it's caused most of our troubles in the world. You know, if you just look at the very first story in the Bible where sin enters into the world, you know, Satan, he just talked to Eve. He used his tongue. He used his tongue for evil, and that's what helped to bring sin into the world. In verse 6, it says that it defileth the whole body. And so it's saying that, you know, the the uncontrolled tongue, it's able to destroy the owner, the person talking, just because of the words it can say and when it can say them. And then it says, and setteth on fire the course of nature. And course of nature, it says it's also defined as will of existence. So it's just the whole of human life and activity and things going on. But it says it has the ability to set this wheel, set this course of nature on fire. And it compares it to a wheel. You know, if you had an old wagon wheel, it's made out of wood. Well, if you set the middle on fire, it's going to burn out and destroy the entire thing. It's going to slowly get bigger and bigger and cause more destruction, just like our tongue can do when it's not controlled. If you go to Psalms 140, we see that David understood how much destruction the tongue could cause. James chapter 140, starting in verse 1. Psalms 140, starting in verse 1, says, "Deliver me, O Lord, from the evil man. Preserve me from the violent man, which imagine mischiefs in their heart. Continually are they gathered together for war." So here he's asking God, you know, protect me from these people, these mean people that can do terrible things. And then verse 3 says, "They have sharpened their tongues like a serpent. Adder's poison is under their lips. Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from the violent man who have purposed to overthrow my goings." So here he's praying to be protected from these men, and he's noticed or he understands that one of their weapons is their tongue, what the rumors they could spread about him, the things they could say about him. He understands that, you know, a tongue could be used for doing good things like spreading the word, but also for destroying people. Go back to James chapter 3, and we'll pick up it in verse 7. James chapter 3, verse 7 says, "For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison." You know, humankind, we've been able to tame all these wild beasts, you know, elephants and lions and tigers and bears and big dogs, and you're just any animal you could think of, somebody's been able to tame and keep as a pet. But then it says the tongue, no one's able to fully tame it. And we think about, well, you know, I don't ever mess up but or say the wrong thing. But, you know, every once in a while we'll hear a story about, say, a lion tamer or somebody who owns bears. You know, they've owned them for 20 years, but then the lion tamer gets eaten. You know, something, it goes good for a long time, but then there's a problem all of a sudden. It gets them into a big mess. You know, a person's tongue, it can get us into a lot of trouble. And it's not, we shouldn't use this as an excuse to be quiet, but rather a warning. You know, if a lion tamer hears about another guy who gets eaten by a lion, well, he's most likely not going to quit his job, but he's probably going to research and see, well, how did they mess up? What did they do wrong? And then they can learn from that also. We should do the same thing. If we mess up, see somebody else mess up, we should be able to learn from that experience so that we can have a better chance at taming our tongue. James chapter 3, starting in verse 9, it says, "Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh." So here he's talking about all these, I guess, normal things we see in nature. You know, vine having grapes. We don't expect it to have figs. And it says, at this time near the Jordan River, there were springs around there, and some would be salty springs and some would bring fresh water. And so they were used to different types of springs. And here he says, you know, do you expect salt water and fresh water out of the same spring? And obviously they didn't. They could rely on one spring to give one thing, the other spring to give the other. So he's saying, we expect all these things out of nature, and yet we come to church and we praise God and we talk about God and we do his will at church, and then we go out in the world and then we yell at the first person who cuts us off in traffic. We do things we shouldn't. We say things that we shouldn't. And yet it comes out of the same mouth that we were praising God previously. Go to Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 19. Here there's many verses about controlling your speech and controlling your tongue. But I want to look at Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 19. It says, "In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise." So like I said earlier, rather than avoiding talking, we should avoid talking so much. You know, how often are we talking to someone? You know, we're having a good conversation. We're talking while we're talking about maybe work and family and stuff like that. And then we get to joking around. We keep talking and talking. And then we stick our foot in our mouth. Then we go too far. We say something we shouldn't. We mess up. You know, previously what we were saying wasn't a problem. But we kept going. We kept talking. And that's what got us into trouble. We didn't know when to stop. It says, "He that refraineth his lips is wise." If we're wise, you know, we'll know when to stop talking. We'll know when we've said enough. You know, the mouth, it's a window into someone's mind or someone's heart. You know, if you just want to know about a person, you can go up and just listen to them talk, and pretty quick, you know, you'll find out what they do, maybe how they think, where they live. You can find out all sorts of stuff just by listening to them, just by how they talk and what they say. But it's the same for us. You know, people can find out a lot about us just by the way we talk and what we say. So when we're talking, are we displaying our wisdom that God has given us and our knowledge about, you know, keeping silent, doing God's word and things like that? Or are we displaying, you know, things we've learned from the world, things we've learned from other people that aren't Christians? And that's the next topic he transitions to is true and false wisdom. If you go back to James chapter 3, in verse 13, he says, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom." So he's saying, whoever says that y'all are knowledgeable, that y'all are smart, this person needs to show it. Not just by going around saying, "Hey, I'm smart," but by how they act, what they do. Here it says, "Let him show out of a good conversation." And conversation means not just how we talk or what we say, but how we behave, the way we conduct ourselves. This knowledge should be shown through how we act, not just how we talk. You know, sometimes people don't believe that actions and doing things is part of being a Christian. And we visited this concept last time in James chapter 2, but if you go there, James chapter 2 and verse 18, it says, "Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." Here he's saying that you can't go around and just say you have faith, and everybody know you have faith. They can't believe you. But if you're going around doing God's word, doing what he's told you to do, that's when they see the faith that you have in God. And it's the same thing with our speech. You know, we can't go, or our wisdom, we can't go around saying, "Oh yeah, I've learned all of God's wisdom. I know the Bible inside and out. I know all these things. I can do all these great things." And if all we do is sit on the couch at home, well, then people aren't going to believe us. But when we're out doing what God has told us to do and acting the way God has, then people see that faith. People see that wisdom that we've learned from God. James chapter 3, starting in verse 14, it says, "But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work." It says in verse 15 that the wisdom that comes from the world is sensual. And that means it appeals to the senses. You know, it's something that we automatically will like. If we're not thinking about it, we're going to like it. It looks good, it tastes good, it smells good, you know, whatever it may be. It appeals to our senses, just like the lust of the flesh and the mind and the pride of life. It's something that's automatically appealing to humans if we're not thinking. And then verse 16, it says that this wisdom says, for where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. And confusion, it means unquietness. You know, it's never without problems. It's never without trouble. And that's what we get from the wisdom of the world. When we're facing hard times and going through what says here is strife, you know, it's easy to get confused and make the wrong decision, chase after those things that, like it says, are sensual. But having this worldly wisdom, you know, it clouds our judgment and causes us problems and lots of confusion for us. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 6. Here we see Paul talking about the wisdom of the world. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and we'll start in verse 5. It says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. You know, he's saying he's not trying to preach the world's wisdom, because that's not going to get anybody anywhere. It's just going to cause trouble for everyone. But we should rather be chasing after God's wisdom and what he's given us. If you go back to James chapter 3 and verse 17, he keeps talking about wisdom, and now he transitions to the wisdom from God, the true wisdom. James chapter 3 and verse 17 says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. I want to look at one phrase in this verse, especially. It says that this wisdom is easy to be entreated, and that means persuaded to forgiveness. And that means if you have this wisdom, it's not hard for you to forgive someone. I think that's something that as a group, humankind has trouble with. You know, we want to get back at the other person. We want to give the other person their comeuppance. But here it says if we have the wisdom of God, the true wisdom, this should be easy for us to forgive. It shouldn't even be something we have to think about. It should just be an automatic reaction. Go to Ephesians 4 and verse 32. We see more qualities that we should have if we're studying God's wisdom. Here he's telling the things you should do, but in Ephesians 4 and verse 32 it says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So he's, and you can go back to verses before this, and he's listing all the things we should and shouldn't do. And at the end he says, and forgive one another. You know, when we're baptized, we're forgiven of our sins. God has forgiven us of all our troubles, all the bad things that we've done to him and his son, all the things that we've put him through. And yet, you know, we have trouble forgiving that guy who cuts us off in traffic. We have trouble holding our tongues and doing the right thing and using the wisdom that God has given us. You know, the words that were used in James, it talks about being pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to forgive, full of mercy. And then the ones used in Ephesians, you know, can we honestly say that describes us? You know, I'm sure we can look at one and be like, oh, yep, that's me. But can we look at all of them and be like, oh yeah, I have all those qualities. I've thoroughly studied God's word, God's wisdom, and I've been able to get all those qualities. And I don't think we can if we're honest with ourselves. I think, you know, we're always going to have something that we have a problem with, but I think there's always room for us to get better. There's always things that that we can get better at and qualities that we can learn from God's word. You know, if we're not kind or gentle or the other things that list, or use our tongues properly and use the worldly wisdom, well, you know, that's going to hinder the church. If we're acting just like everyone else in the world, that's going to hinder the work and the spreading of God's word. Go back to James chapter 3, here, the last verse in this chapter. It says in verse 18, "And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." So if we are truly wise, if we're chasing after and trying to learn this wisdom that God has given us, we should be sowing good seed. It says the seed of peace and forgiveness. You know, we won't be running our mouths when we shouldn't. We shouldn't be doing things that we shouldn't. And then it says, "And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." So if we sow what God has given us, if we are living a peaceable lives, well, then we'll the harvest that we reap will be peaceable also. Our fruit will be good because, you know, we're using God's wisdom. People will see our wisdom through our actions, what we do, and how we speak and when we speak and things like that. You know, a lot of times we think, if we're always sticking our foot in our mouths, that, well, we should just shut up and not say anything. You know, there's a time to shut up, but also there's a time to speak. There's a time to know when to say certain things. You know, if we won't read it, but I think most of us know the story of Peter. You know, he stuck his foot in his mouth quite a few times. He messed up with his tongue quite a few times. But then if you look after Jesus' crucifixion, he's preaching the word. He's standing up for God. He's doing things he should. He's able to bridle his tongue and use it in a way that was helpful to the kingdom. And we need to make sure that, you know, we're learning from our mistakes and that we're using our abilities in a way that will help God and his word. That's my lesson for this evening. I hope it was beneficial and edifying, but also is convicting. I know it's easy for us to forget how to act. We realize all the good things we do, but then we overlook all the times we messed up. And I think those are more important times, you know, because when we mess up, that may be hindering God's word, but it's also a time for us to learn and for us to be able to teach others. As always, if there's one who'd like to be baptized or needs the prayers of church, if you come forward while we stand, while we sing.